glorify your name in all the earth. Will you pray with me? This prayer comes from the work of Joyce Rupp. Risen One, come. Meet me in the garden of my life. Lure me into elation. Revive my silent hope. Coax my dormant dreams. Rise up my neglected gratitude. Entice my tired enthusiasm. Give life to my faltering relationships. Roll back the stone of my indifference. Unwrap the deadness in my spiritual life. Impart heartedness in my work. Risen One, send me forth as your disciple of unwavering love, a message of your unlimited joy. Resurrected One, may I become ever more convinced that your presence lives on and on and on. Awaken me. Awaken me. Amen. This was a reflection of my weekly email this week. Maybe even a reflection of this young man. I thought about this resurrection story. Oftentimes we limit ourselves to think that the meaning or the value or the reflection of resurrection has an association to Easter bonnets and new shoes. Maybe not for this crowd. A reflection of some tradition around the experience of Easter, however you might celebrate it or not. Scripture has told us that there is actually more than one resurrection. Lazarus was resurrected. This young man has been resurrected. Jesus was resurrected, which tells me resurrection isn't something that happened once in history, but invites us to have it happen over and over and over again. Jesus noticed this woman in her grief, noticed her tears, noticed the dead body being carried down the street. Have you ever noticed someone who is dead? Has that someone ever been you? Sometimes we have this sense of thinking that dead happens once, right? Somebody dies, that's it. Yet there are walking dead among us all over the planet. Maybe your soul is in a place where it's paralyzed or cannot feel or cannot see beyond carrying the container from place to place to place, not even noticing maybe you're dead. Has that ever happened to you? A moment in your life, a time in your life where you're just going through the motions? Maybe you don't associate that with being dead. But then all of a sudden something happens and you break through this experience of awakening. Have you ever had an awakening? Some call it an epiphany. where all of a sudden your eyes are opened and you see something new. This verse in here, lure me into elations, revive my silent hope, coax my dormant dreams. Do you remember a time when you dreamed and then maybe stopped? Are you annoyed by other people who are excited by their dreams? Anyone? Can just drive you up a tree, right? Would you stop already with the dreaming? When I was in the fifth grade, my teacher, Gertrude Sechrist, sent a note home to my mother. I don't know what to do with Phyllis.
Neither do we.
This started way before y'all ever met me. She just sits and looks out the window, deep in thought. I can't get her to focus. My mom, completely clueless with what to do, sent me to my room. Perfect!
Where she sat and gazed out the window.
I'm alone with my thoughts. I can daydream all I want, expecting to find a disheartened, tearful child. An hour later, she comes in. Well, have you given this any thought? Yes, I have a great idea.
That would be Phyllis.
You need to stay in here a little longer. Perfect! Some people just dream like ad nauseum. I mean, like it just comes and it comes and it comes. And yet there have been times in my life so full of despair, I didn't even notice I wasn't dreaming. Has that ever happened to you?
Yes.
Have you ever seen someone consumed by a substance, regardless of what that substance is, that has no life in them? That this substance owns them and they can't even see they are dead? Rise up in me, my tired enthusiasm. Give life to my faltering relationships. Roll back the stone of my indifference. Unwrap the deadness in my spiritual life. Impart heartiness in my work. How many of you have a full life until you get to work and then you're just going through the motions? Or maybe work is just doing it for you and you get home and you're just going through the motions. Don't raise your hand if there's someone else who shares your household with you. That can just be between you and whoever else lives up there. This mom was heartbroken. Jesus said to the young man, "Get up." And the dead man sat up and began to talk. I wonder if Jesus journeyed with us in the physical sense, what he might say to us, our church. You've been a church for 43 years, and in that time, you've been about the same average attendance. Maybe different people. What is happening in the mission I called you to? Get up, start talking, share the good news, reach out to people who are dying to know what you know and have what you have. Get up. I wonder what kind of text messages he left on his Facebook, on his tweet. Can't you just imagine if they had tweeting back then? What he might write, what might you write? So you're dead, they're carrying you, you wake up, Jesus touches you, says get up, and you start talking, what might you write? That you got resurrected? Oh, that you're dead. Okay, now you're not dead. You're alive now. What would you tweet?
I was having so much fun in heaven. Why did I have to come back?
Okay. Work with me, people. I'm alive. Let's party. What'd you do with my stuff? Tammy, I'm starting to feel your pain. I think I've lost a little control here.
There's a lot more of them than there are children.
Ted Lauder, who is this amazing poet and liturgist, wrote this wonderful poem titled, I Praise You for This Resurrection Madness. Can't you just imagine the streets? This young man is being carried by the bearers, and Jesus stops and looks at him and says, get up. And he gets up and starts talking. Can't you just imagine the madness of those witnessing this resurrection? Let's shift this just a little bit. So, you know, we're in the Pride Parade, and we're carrying something that's dead. And Jesus says, get up. Like, okay, who here remembers Stonewall? Where it was round in Stonewall. So I'm looking for the older crowd. Even if you were three, Stonewall happened in 69. There was a time when our community was dead. Jesus has called us to rise up and share the good news that we too are called by God. And we have a cloud of witnesses that surround us in our Straight Alliance community. Who in the room is that? Yes. Yes. We cannot do this work without standing together to do this work. And Jesus called us and said, get up and start talking, just as we passed the protesters. Hello. What is it we have to say to the world as a resurrected church with new life and good news? What is our good news? I'm a beloved child of God. You've been paying attention. How do we wrap ourselves around that? Say it with me. I'm a beloved child of God. I'm a beloved child of God. What does that mean in the grocery store? What does that mean in traffic? What does that mean when you're in the midst of a squabble with somebody? What does that mean when you're standing naked looking in the mirror? Okay, now we're getting a little close. That's when we're the most vulnerable, right? That's when our list for what's not working is long. Hello? God of such amazing surprises has put a catch in my breath and wings on my heart. I praise you for this joy, too great for words, but not for tears and songs and sharing, for this mercy that blots out my betrayals and bids me to begin again. To limp on, to hop, skip, and jump, or to mend what is broken in and around me and forgive the breakers. Oh, my word, please don't make me. Have you ever been in a place where you've witnessed a 3-year-old who has to say, "I'm sorry"? Even at 3, we feel in our bodies what it is like to notice when we have harmed our hearts and those we love. That is such hard work. I always thought if I was ever going to write a book, my second book, can't tell you the title of my first one, it would be stalked by betrayal. Stalked by forgiveness. See, it's even hard for me to get it right. Forgiveness is such hard work. And yet, what did Jesus say on the cross? Oh God, forgive them. Beseeching God, why is forgiveness such hard work for our hearts? To mend what is broken in and around me. In me. What is broken in me. For this yes to life and laughter, to love and lovers, to my unwinding self, for this kingdom unleashed in me and I in it forever. And no dead ends to growing. Nope. No dead ends to growing. To choices, to chances, to calls to be just. No dead ends to living, to making peace, to dreaming dreams, to being glad of heart. For this resurrection madness, which is wiser than I, in which I see how great you are and how full your grace is. In all the madness, in all the challenges, to see how great God is, and how full of grace God calls us to be as we receive it. Jesus said, "Greater things that you will do than I have done." Where are we on that one? How do we even measure ourselves up against Jesus? Well, it doesn't actually have anything to do with Jesus. It's not competition. It's mission. Our mission is to get who we are and whose we are. To claim it. To own it. To get it into our skin. In our bones, in our muscles. To grow in wisdom is not the same thing as knowing more. To grow in wisdom is to know when to use what we know and when to notice what we don't. To serve is our charge. To serve in gratitude is our option. Have you ever served to a place where you're exhausted? Sometimes that happens in ministry, in life. To remember why we're doing it is our charge and our challenge. Because God has no hands but our hands, and no feet but our feet, and no heart but our heart, and no mouth but our mouth, and no mind but our mind, and no arms but our arms. We are called to share God's love. In your resurrected madness, may God's love flood you, fill you, wrap you, carry you, empower you. And from that, we will change the world. Will you pray with me? Oh God, may we truly become convinced that your presence lives on and on and on. Awaken us. Awaken us. In Christ's name, amen.
Golden man.